Have you read a novel about the idea of the rapture of Christians? The Left Behind series of books and videos have stirred, frightened, and entertained millions. Why do so many people believe that the Bible prophesies the rapture? Is there any biblical validity to this teaching? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss the rapture.
Join our host, Steve Myers, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Imagine a time in the near future when suddenly Christians who are driving cars abruptly disappear. Many going about their daily business at school, shopping, or at work, or wherever, suddenly, secretly, they're removed from the earth. Gone! Is this what your Bible teaches? Is the teaching of the rapture true? To discuss this today, I've invited a guest to join me. He's a pastor with the United Church of God, Don Henson.
Steve.
Good to have you with me, Don. Is the doctrine of the rapture true? Let's get right on into it. Is it a true teaching?
Well, certainly it's a very widely held belief. Many people assume that it is true. However, it is not a biblical teaching. There are a certain number of scriptures that are used to justify and to try to make it seem like it comes from the Bible. But in fact, when you study those scriptures, you'll see that it is not a topic or a doctrine that is supported by the Bible.
Now, so many people have that concept. They believe this. And maybe it would be good just to talk about what that belief is. What are some of the ideas that people who believe in the rapture have?
Well, it's really a fairly straightforward and simple teaching. Essentially, the teaching is that Christ will return to the earth in phases or in stages. And initially, he will come and appear in the air above the earth. And from there, he will draw to himself, he will gather up all of the faithful Christians and the children from the earth to himself for the purpose of protecting them from the time of the tribulation, which is about to begin.
So he comes near to the earth, so he doesn't really return, this idea teaches, but he comes near, or not quite, and then draws these believers away.
Exactly, and it's also a secret occurrence. In other words, when you look into the sky, you will not see Jesus Christ in the heavens looking down. The only evidence that this event will take place is that these faithful Christians will just vanish. They will disappear.
Well, why is it that it's such a popular belief today?
Well, it has a certain amount of appeal, and it has a certain mystique about it. It's very interesting, and people, I think, tend to assume that it seems logical.
Well, I suppose when trouble's coming, you'd rather not have to face it. That's probably part of it.
That is certainly part of it, that people are looking for an opportunity in some way to be protected from those kinds of events that will come about.
It seems that part of that belief then also has to play into this idea that they can be removed from those problems and yet be safe in heaven. But is that accurate?
No, it's not. Again, it's not a biblical teaching. The idea of the rapture did not originate from the Bible. It is not in Scripture.
And so then it became popularized when? How did that come about?
Well, first of all, it was not taught by Jesus Christ. It was not taught by the apostles. It was not part of the teaching of the early New Testament church. And so that's why it's not in Scripture. But we do find that the teaching begins to emerge in the early 19th century. Its exact origin really is not very clearly understood. Most people attribute it to a man named John Nelson Darby in about 1827. It became somewhat more popularized in the early 1900s when the Scofield Bible was published, mm-hmm. and it included in its footnotes support for an explanation of the rapture as well. Then it became much more popular in the 1970s. There was a writer named Hal Lindsey who wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, which was essentially an explanation of end-time prophecies, which assumed the rapture as part of the scenario that he was developing.
Of course, prophecy is always such a big subject. It's got an interesting appeal. It's mysterious, people feel. It tries to explain the unknown. And it seems like this rapture theory was one of those ideas that tried to explain some of that.
Not only did it explain it, but it also provided a certain motivation. And I think that was the real intent of the teaching, was to get Christians to be very serious about their beliefs and to realize that, at least according to the teaching, there'd be a serious consequence if they were not prepared.
Now, of course, today we've had this whole series of the Left Behind novels.
Yes.
Now, that's had a big effect on this appeal, hasn't it?
Certainly. It's very popularized, and it's presented in wrapped around a fictional story, a storyline that carries through for a series of books, I think about 16 altogether. But in the course of the story itself, there's never any systematic proof of a rapture. It simply is part of the storyline. It's assumed that the rapture is something that will indeed take place.
So the novels don't go back and say, well, take a look at this scripture, look at that scripture, here's what the Bible teaches on that. Really, it's more of, you know, an intrigue, a story that has political intrigue or sexual intrigue or storylines that keep people interested and use it in kind of a envelope, you might say, of the rapture to gain appeal.
That's exactly right. And that's why it is so popular, because of the manner in which it is presented.
And yet this idea of people just suddenly disappearing from their cars or when they're piloting airplanes or all of those kinds of things, it's really just a fallacy, isn't it?
Again, it is. It's not something that you can find any support for in Scripture. It sounds exciting and it sounds intriguing, and it has a real dramatic kind of an appeal, but it is not something that you find in Scripture.
Just because millions of books have been sold about a topic doesn't make it true. In fact, as you think about that today, there's so much to understand about this particular topic. In fact, sometimes it can seem very difficult to understand your Bible. We have a booklet that can help you with that. How to understand your Bible. It's not that complicated. God has made His Word clear, and this booklet can help you to understand it so much better. Something that will apply to your life. The Bible has meaning for you. We hope you'll stay tuned. Get online and order this booklet. Do it now. BeyondToday.tv, you can get your copy and begin reading immediately. Otherwise, order it and we can send it to you with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
Have you tried to read the Bible but had to quit? It seemed too hard, too big, too mysterious. Most people want to have its spiritual knowledge but don't know how to unlock its secrets. It has 66 separate books written over 1,500 years, and now you can open your eyes with a free copy of How to Understand the Bible. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the keys to open your spirit up to let God speak to you with the right attitude of following where its laws and truth lead you. Understand the context of its advice and how to apply it now. The full landscape of its wisdom that will broaden, deepen, and transform your life. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of How to Understand the Bible.
How well do you understand your Bible? We've got a booklet that can help you to understand your Bible. How to Understand the Bible. This booklet is something that you need. It has relevance to your life. It can make a huge difference to how you live. You can order this booklet free. Plenty of information is packed into this easy-to-read booklet that you need. It's a free one. Go online to beyondtoday.tv and order it. It can be yours, or you can just go ahead online and read it immediately. Download it. Take your time. But get to understand your Bible, because it has a tremendous impact on your life, especially as we've been talking about this topic about the rapture. Is that what the Bible really teaches, that Christians will be suddenly whisked away to heaven? Is that a time that those that are left on the earth can only wonder, well, what happened? Cars with no drivers, planes with no pilots, missing wives, husbands, disappeared. That's what we've been talking about. Does the Bible really teach that, Don?
You know, Steve, I think this falls into the category of a topic that people assume must be biblical because so many people in churches believe it.
They've heard so much about
it. That's right. But in truth and very simply, it is not a scriptural teaching.
Now, there must be somewhere in Scripture where they draw some of these ideas from. Where would that be?
Well, the primary Scripture that is used to support this teaching would be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to take the time, just go ahead and read this so that we can talk about it a little bit. Verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, actually begins with the sentence just at the end of verse 16. It says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now, that passage is the primary basis for a belief in the rapture. That this means that we'll be gather together with Christ and be with him there in the air. Now, the phrase that is used here, that we meet him in the air, that we're together with him in the air, is from a Greek word which means to forcefully pull a gather or to lift up.
So to be
catch.
To be caught up together, that
yes.
little phrase there
yes.
has that idea to seize.
It is a very strong word in the Greek language. It does mean to seize or to grab up. When the Bible was translated into the Latin language, into the Vulgate, the word rapere is used for that Greek
okay.
word.
And that's where the rapture, the word English rapture, derives
Correct.
Its meaning from.
Correct. That's okay. where we get the word rapture. So the question we have to ask ourselves, though, is can we base an entire system or doctrine of teaching on this one sentence that seems to say, if you look at it all by itself, that Christ is somehow going to kidnap Christians or abduct them or seize them at this point?
So in a sense, when we look at that, we've got an entire doctrine that's based on one Latin word, and it's, in a sense, a misunderstanding. Because certainly the Bible is clear when it says no scripture is of private interpretation. And so if we try to isolate this one little scripture and say that's what it means, right. we're really fooling ourselves, aren't we?
And the simple thing is, all we have to do is read this passage in its context, and we'll see what Paul is actually addressing, what he's actually talking about.
We've got to step back and read the whole section is really what
that.
You're saying then.
Let's do that. We'll back up to verse 13, which is where this context begins. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, this phrase, fallen asleep, is commonly used, especially in Paul's writings, to represent death. So he's writing about people who have died, mm-hmm. and to remind them of the hope that they have, even though some of their friends and family and loved ones have died.
Now, they were worried about that at the time, because weren't they expecting Jesus Christ to return in their lifetime?
That's why they were confused. They did expect Christ to return during this time, this first generation. And when others of their brethren began to die before Christ had returned, that was very disconcerting. They didn't know what to make of that. They didn't know what now to expect or to think.
And what would happen to them.
Right. So Paul then appeals to their faith, to their understanding. In verse 14, he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who have died. So again, he is appealing to their understanding of what will happen when Christ returns and comforting them, consoling them with the understanding that those who have died are at no disadvantage. They will receive the same reward at the same time as those who are living at the time when Christ returns. That's the entire purpose of this context or this passage.
So it's showing that they should have the hope in Christ that yes. he's going to return.
Right.
But it's not talking about some kind of secret rapture. It's not talking about them being whisked off to heaven to avoid some troubles down the line, is it?
Well, it would be difficult to think of this as something that's secret when you read verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. This is not a secret event. Other passages describe this scene in a similar way. In Revelation chapter 11, about verse 15, there's a description again of the time, or the moment when Jesus Christ returns. The trumpet is sounded. An angel proclaims or announces that Jesus Christ, as he is descending, it is announced that he is coming now to rule over all the nations and to reign on the earth forever. And again, it's very difficult for that to appear to be or to make that seem to be a secret occasion.
And it also talks about the fact every eye would see.
That's right.
And how can you keep that a secret?
Jesus himself said that. That's from Matthew 24, about verse 30, says that all the nations will see when Christ is descending from the heavens.
So when we really begin to see the context of that section there in 1 Thessalonians, we're talking about a resurrection. The dead in Christ would rise, as well as those who are Christ, that when they're at the time they're alive when Christ returns, and they'll meet him in the air.
Yes.
And the confusing part for some people then, I think, is this idea of meeting him in the air. Well, if you meet him in the air, well, then is that where they're whisked off? And there seems to be a little bit of confusion when it comes to that point.
Okay. Well, part of that confusion arises when a person assumes that there's a certain meaning to that phrase, that they will meet him in the air. In other words, if you already believe that there's a rapture, then that seems like it's describing it to you. Mm-hmm. So when we consider here, what does it mean for them to meet him in the air? Many Bible reference works would help you understand that the word meet that is used here is a unique Greek word which means to greet an official or a government or member of royalty who is coming to visit. For example, if someone were to, a head of state is coming to visit, let's say, the President of the United States, and they arrive at the airport, there's going to be someone there to meet him, to greet him. He'll be, there might even be a military band for some fanfare, or to play some appropriate music, to greet and welcome this visiting official. And then that person is escorted on to the White House or wherever he's going for his meeting. This is a similar kind of a situation where Christ is returning as the King over all of the earth, and those who are being resurrected to serve with him and to reign on this earth with him will rise in the air and go to greet him and to meet him there, and then to go with him as he finishes his return. As Scripture shows, he will be going to Jerusalem to establish the capital of the world.
And that word to meet him literally meant that, didn't it? Where they would go out of the village and meet a king and escort them back.
That's right. They would go meet him and then continue to their destination.
Right. And so if we were to summarize that whole section of Scripture, it's not talking about the rapture. It's talking and helping with those who were alive at that time, who had friends and relatives who had died in the faith, that when Christ returns to rule the earth, they will meet him in the air, escort him back to earth, and reign and rule for 1,000 years. Isn't that really what that passage is talking about there?
Paul says at the conclusion of this whole passage in verse 18 to comfort one another with these words. That was the purpose that he wrote this passage for, was to give them that hope in the resurrection. There is nothing in this passage that we've looked at here that talks about the need to be rescued from the tribulation. That's not part of the context or part of what he wrote at all. It's talking about the resurrection of those faithful Christians who had already died at the time when Christ returns.
Boy, there is so much more to this subject. We hope you'll stay right there. We've got more to talk about the rapture and its wrong ideas, and we'll be back to talk about that in just a moment.
Have you tried to read the Bible but had to quit? It seemed too hard, too big, too mysterious. Most people want to have its spiritual knowledge but don't know how to unlock its secrets. It has 66 separate books written over 1,500 years, and now you can open your eyes with a free copy of How to Understand the Bible. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the keys to open your spirit up to let God speak to you with the right attitude of following where its laws and truth lead you. Understand the context of its advice and how to apply it now. The full landscape of its wisdom that will broaden, deepen, and transform your life. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of How to Understand the Bible. In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to the Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for the Good News magazine.
We hope you'll get your copy of the Good News magazine. You need this publication. It's a magazine to help you understand your world. It'll help you understand the world in light of Bible prophecy. It'll help you understand and how to serve and work and live in your family. Help your children. You can go online and order it, or you can call us up. Get the publication. It's something that will really help you understand your world. Now, we've been discussing the rapture. And I'm not sure if you understand that the word rapture isn't even in the English Bible. Millions of books have been sold on a false premise. And we've spoke about that misunderstanding of one of the passages in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians. Now, Don, is there another passage that is often misused?
Probably the second most commonly misunderstood passage on this topic would be in Matthew chapter 24. Down about verse 40 and 41, it gives two examples of how two people would be standing together and one would be taken and the other left. And people, again, look at that statement and think, well, that's talking about the rapture, that someone's going to be here and someone else be taken
away. Someone being left behind.
That's what they assume. But once again, all we need to do is to go back in earlier in the chapter and see the context of that statement. Those are words spoken by Christ himself.
So we've got to step back and get the big picture. What is it really talking about here?
Well, you pick up the context back in verse 29, 30, and 31. And in those three verses, Jesus describes his own return. And that when it will take place after the tribulation, after the heavenly signs, and then the Son of Man comes in his glory, and every eye will see him.
Okay, so that's important because it's not talking about a rapture. Christ is very clear.
That's
it's
right.
About his second coming.
And again, nothing secret about it. Then the context continues. Christ then says that he's given this information or answered the disciples' questions so they would be able to discern the times. They'd understand these events as they begin to unfold. So then the next couple of verses then draw a comparison between the time of Christ's return and the time of Noah. The people in Noah's time didn't have a clue. They did not know. They couldn't discern the times that were about to unload upon them. And so Christ is saying in contrast that we have knowledge of those events and we do not need to be caught unawares as they were in the time of Noah.
So when you get down to it, you can see that passage is talking about the resurrection at the return of Christ, not anything to do with a rapture of one being left and another being taken, but the resurrection is really the focus there.
That is, and that's what Christ is talking about as he's describing those events that will take place at the end of the age and at the time of his return. He's simply saying that when he returns, some will be prepared and some will not be prepared. They'll be right next to each other, right with each other, but some will not have done what they should have done to have been prepared for his return.
So the prepared are resurrected and the unprepared are left.
And not left to the tribulation, because that's already passed. See, it's a whole different context and setting when you read and see what Christ is actually describing.
I think one thing that people oftentimes overlook is the fact that as Christ returns, he's going to establish the kingdom of God. It's going to be established on the earth. Now, I'm not sure if people understand the events that entails, and that it kind of fits in with this subject. How does the return of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God, how is that described in the Bible?
Well, it's described in the same context of these events we've been talking about. Then when Christ returns, Zechariah chapter 14, for example, tells us that he will first of all subdue the nations, and then his feet will land on, he will arrive at Jerusalem. And it is from that place, that location, that he will set up the government and rule over the earth. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4 says that those who were resurrected, those saints who were part of that resurrection or that change at the time that he returned, will reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years.
Now, just before that return, I mean, it's a terrible time. It's a time of world trouble. It's a time of war. It's a time of, Christ says, the great tribulation. You know, no time like this in the past with the difficulties that the world will be engulfed in that time. And yet, how do we view those passages?
Well, Christ actually, again, is giving us an understanding so that we can be prepared for those times. The Great Tribulation will be a time of unparalleled difficulty on this earth. But Christ also elaborated in Luke chapter 21, as well as in Revelation chapter 3, that there is a way that those who are careful, obedient, praying Christians can be protected from those events. And they can be protected from those things that will come about. However, again, Christ never says it is going to be because of a rapture or by a rapture.
Right, they're not going to be removed in that sense, and whisked to heaven. They can reign and rule with Christ is literally what he's talking about there, as they follow and they're obedient and true Christians
after the time of the resurrection. Yes,
and so when we look at that, even though it's a time of difficulty, these two passages really fit together when we take it in the context of the resurrection. That there is a reason for hope. The rapture is literally a counterfeit of what the resurrection stands for, wouldn't you say?
the rapture actually is causes confusion in at least three different important biblical teachings. First of all, it confuses people about how they can be protected from the events at the end times in the tribulation. Secondly, it's confusing about when and how the resurrection itself will take place. And third, the timing and the way that Jesus Christ will return and set up the kingdom of God. So a belief in the rapture is very confusing, and it creates a lot of difficulty in understanding very important events that will take place at the time of this age.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see that Christ has a plan. God has a plan for mankind. And in both these sections, there's hope. There's hope for man.
And again, let me just go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. That's exactly what Paul was writing about, was that hope. It's a hope in, a real hope in what will happen at the time when Jesus Christ returns. It really does us no good whatsoever to believe in something that's not going to happen. It really does not help us at all to be afraid of something that's not going to happen. But when we understand what truly is going to occur at the end of this age and what will it be like when Jesus Christ returns and events that lead up to it, then it encourages us, it leads us to live carefully and obediently as Christians as the way that we should.
And so we've got to do the will of God. We've got to do what God says. We've got to obey His commands. We've got to keep the things that He wants us to keep.
That's exactly what Christ is encouraging us to do, and exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do, so that we will be prepared when those events begin to unfold.
All right, the rapture is an amazing subject that's wrapped around so many false premises. But the truth, Christ said, will set you free. We hope that you'll stay tuned as we wrap things up.
Have you tried to read the Bible but had to quit? It seemed too hard, too big, too mysterious. Most people want to have its spiritual knowledge but don't know how to unlock its secrets. It has 66 separate books written over 1,500 years, and now you can open your eyes with a free copy of How to Understand the Bible. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the keys to open your spirit up to let God speak to you with the right attitude of following where its laws and truth lead you. Understand the context of its advice and how to apply it now. The full landscape of its wisdom that will broaden, deepen, and transform your life. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of How to Understand the Bible.
The Rapture. The idea of Christians being secretly transported to heaven is a false teaching. Just because millions of books have been sold about the subject doesn't make it true. Yes, there's a frightening time of world trouble ahead, but your Bible teaches that Jesus will come again and set the world right. He'll resurrect His people, people like you who obey His commandments. We can meet Christ in the air and escort Him back to earth to reign and rule with Him for 1,000 years. So now is the time to repent and obey Him. Don't get caught up in the idea of a phony secret rapture. That's a false teaching that we should leave behind. Thanks, Don, for being on the program. When you want to understand your future, remember our program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.